John chapter 11, I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 16. So John chapter 11, verse 1 to 16. The title of the sermon this morning is The Delays of Love. And sometimes that's what the Lord does, the delays of love. So John chapter 11, verses 1 to 16, let's read those words and may the Lord speak to our hearts. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. The title of the sermon this morning is The Delays of Love. And sometimes that's what the Lord does, the delays of love.
The sort of echo you'd get.
So John chapter 11, verses 1 to 16, let's read those words.
It was that,
the Lord speak
to it was that Mary
hearts.
Who anointed the Lord.
Now a certain man was sick.
With her
Lazarus,
whose brother Lazarus was
the town of Mary and her sister Martha.
Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified.
It was that verse too. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet
and her sister
with her
and Lazarus,
whose brother Lazarus was sick.
So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed
to him,
two
saying,
more days
Lord, behold,
in the place
whom you love is sick.
And then after this, he
now
said
when
to
Jesus
the disciples,
heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God,
to him,
that the
Rabbi,
Son of God
lately the
might
Jews
be glorified
to stone you.
Through it.
And are you going
now, Jesus
again?
Loved Martha
and Jesus answered and
her
said,
sister,
are there not
Lazarus.
12 hours in the day?
And so when
if
he heard that
in the day,
Lazarus
he
was sick,
stumble,
he stays 2 more days. In the place
world.
Where he was.
But if one
and
walks
after
in the night,
this,
he
said to the disciples,
because
let's
the light
go to
is
Judea,
not
Judea again.
Now these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get well. However, the Lord Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. May the Lord bless to every heart the reading of his word and the preaching of it. Now, imagine, if you would please, for a moment, a scenario. Not a particularly pleasant scenario, but a scenario. Let's imagine you're standing next to someone who has a heart attack. You phone for an ambulance. What happens next? We are talking here a bona fide medical emergency. Somebody is having a heart attack. You phone for an ambulance. What happens next? Well, we know, don't we? First thing that's going to happen, they're going to put you through to a call handler who's going to ask you, what service do you require? Then after that, they're going to transfer you through to the more medical people who are going to start bombarding you with questions about what exactly is happening, names, addresses, and the like. After that, what happens, apparently behind the scenes, is a very rapid assessment of the level of emergency. Got to assess the level of emergency before they offer you those reassuring words, help is on the way. And then the important question is this, how long in a grade one emergency, in a real medical emergency, do you think the ambulance should take to arrive? What is the NHS standard in Britain today in a grade one emergency for the ambulance to arrive? How long should it take? The answer is 8 minutes. The answer is 8 minutes. 8 minutes, not 80 minutes. 8 minutes, not 8 hours. 8 minutes, and definitely not 4 days. So we're left asking that question, how in the world, remembering that, can we explain these delays of God? In John chapter 11. Now, since the beginning of time, human beings have not liked waiting, especially in the 21st century. Delays are the sort of thing that happen to buses, to trains, to deliveries, when there's an inefficiency somewhere and something has gone wrong. These delays generally have consequences. The best sort of consequence, well, you lose some time. The worst sort of consequence, you lose a life. They often result a delay in us feeling personally let down. Why did that happen? And that's 1,000 times more true When the delay doesn't come from someone else like us, another human being, but the delay seems to come from God. Now, we would say in these situations, any kind of decent man goes straight away to help his friend. Any kind of decent man will go straight away to help an animal. It seems the Lord Jesus is showing here the sort of indifference to Lazarus that Caesar might have shown to Lazarus. This seems to be this appearance of indifference and a lack of care in this delay. And I wonder today, in what area of your life do you feel that God has delayed? Maybe it's been for a long time. Maybe it's been for a short time. But you feel today there's been an area of life, of your life, in which the Lord has delayed, and something in your heart is saying, I know I should be patient, but if you want to know the truth, Lord, what's wrong with answering right now? Why don't we push the delays to the one side and see your answer right now? And we forget, don't we, how things work in life. Every parent knows. We delay giving good gifts to our children sometimes so that we can find the best moment. Strange, isn't it? How we struggle when the Lord delays today. But often we look back 20 years to his delays back then and we thank him for them. You know what I mean? Isn't it strange how delays are often the ideal learning periods, when we are taught patience, when we are taught perseverance, when we are taught how much we need God, when we are prepared for gratitude. Starting to understand as well as we move towards delays and spiritual maturing. You know, my wife and I, we were on holiday in Dartmoor about a month or so back. And there was a time during that that holiday that we were on top of a mountain, a high mountain, tall mountain, and there were beautiful views. But we looked about a mile away, and there was a taller mountain, a higher mountain, with probably more beautiful views. And the question then was, how are we going to get from the high mountain to the higher mountain? And the answer was, we had to go down into a valley first before we could go up the next mountain. In one sense, we had to go down, down, down before we could go up, up, up. And sometimes that's exactly how it is when it comes to spiritual maturity. And that might be exactly how it is with some of us this morning, that perhaps some of us have felt the Lord's delay and it has hurt you and it has bruised you, and you're coming here with about 1,500 question marks above your head this morning as to why that delay has happened. And the Lord is saying to you, the delay has happened to move you to a higher mountain spiritually. That needs to happen. That's an act of kindness, to go from where you are to a higher mountain spiritually. And we're going to look at all these things this morning, and I hope to the benefit of our souls, under four headings about the delay of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four headings, and the first of those headings, we pick it up at verse 5, was that it was a loving delay. It was a loving delay. What do we read there in verse 5? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So four things about this delay. The first thing is that it was a loving delay. Now, the Lord Jesus, by this time, had known Mary, Martha, and Lazarus for a little while. And let's think for a moment what had happened, what had gone on. The Lord Jesus had entered their region. The Lord Jesus had entered their town. The Lord Jesus had entered their home. They had spoken to the Lord Jesus. They had listened to the Lord Jesus. They had prepared a meal for the Lord Jesus. We know this. They had shared a meal with the Lord Jesus. They had taken their complaints, Martha did, to the Lord Jesus. They had received the challenges back from the Lord Jesus. And yet, after this time, if you want to describe the relationship that the Lord Jesus had with them, you could describe it in one word, and you can say this: the Lord Jesus, he loved them. After that time. And Christian, you might have had quite a few years of your Christian life, and a lot of water has flowed under the bridge, and not all of it good. But the Lord comes to you today and he says, if you want to sum up his relationship with you, he says, he loves you. He loves you, we can see in the passage, as an individual. It wasn't just a general love for that family, but for three individuals in that family. He loves you by name. The Lord Jesus wasn't fishing around saying, well, I can't remember what they were called. He loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The Lord Jesus loved them with a human love. But there's something very interesting here. He also loved them with a divine love, because the word used here is agape. He loved them with an agape love. Now, this is something very, very interesting, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. You see, if you go back to verse 3, where they send to the Lord Jesus, Lord, the one who you love is sick. That was the message they sent. The word for love there is not the word agape. It is the word filio, a friendship love. That's what they were saying. You can go to verse 35, and you can say, see how he loved him. That's what people said of the Lord Jesus. See how he loved him. Again, the word love is the word for friendship. That's what people were saying. But when John got to the heart of the matter, well, when John said, this is how it really is, it was not the word filio, friendship love, that he used, but the reality was the agape love, meaning that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved these people with a greater love, a stronger love than they said and they thought. And that's sometimes how it is. I've got one son. Just gone to university yesterday, so I'm a little bit tremulous about it all. I've got one son. I can still remember when he was born. 15th of October 2001. And I remember that, you know, he was born and he came out with his head shaped like a bullet and he was smelling of blood. But that didn't matter. I thought he was fantastic. And it's one of the strange facts of life that they put my little David in my wife's arms and he stopped crying and was calm. And they put him in my arms and he cried solid for 15 minutes. I remember that to this day. And, you know, he was never a particularly fast developer. He was behind in everything when it came to talking and walking. But what he was first with was his set of teeth. He was the first of all his peers to have a full set of teeth. And I can still remember, you know, he's a very little boy, just 6 or 7 months old, that he started to laugh. I remember the first time I heard him laugh, and I could, the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard in my life. I just wanted to run around the house saying, do it again, do it again. And it was a boy, it wasn't a girl. He didn't like pink and dolls. He liked trucks. And every time he got right near to a building site, he'd be shouting, digger, digger. And we used to love it. And as he started to learn to talk and understand words, we would say to him that we loved him, and he would say to us that he loved us. But when he said the word love, it was a smaller word and a weaker word than the word we were using when we told him that we loved him. And his mind at that time could not understand, could not realize the greatness of the love that we had for him. And that is exactly how it always is for us as Christians with God. You got your little child. Even a little child's best moments doesn't understand the full measure of his parents' love. You think sometimes, oh, I understand the measure of God's love for me. No, you don't. No, we don't. And that's the explanation of it all. What does it say in the passage? Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, because he loves them, so he's going to do something. That's the only reason that's given. It's not a delay because the Lord Jesus was angry with them. It's not a delay because the Lord Jesus had forgotten them. It was a delay because he loved them. That divine love was the reason why the delay happened. If you go earlier in the verse, in the chapter, you can see the sickness was for the glory of God. That's what we see there in verse 4. But the delay was because the Lord Jesus loved them. Thought for us all. If God didn't love you with his big love, maybe there would be no delay in your life right now. But he does love you with that big love. Thought again. How things appear when God delays. Appears to be indifferent, maybe appears to be angry, is actually the opposite of sometimes how it really is. He loves you. God's big love for you, if you'll allow me to say this, might be your biggest problem when it comes to your wish for a comfortable, cozy life, sometimes with all sorts of elements of sin. And God says, I love you far too much just to give you that. I'm going to come and rock your boat a little bit so that you don't get that. And whatever area of life you feel that God is delaying in today, let me tell you something very clearly. You can take that area, I don't know what it is, you can take that area, you can put a connecting line in there. And take that line through all sorts of people and places and events and occasions. And if you are a Christian, that line goes back to the love of God. That's what it is. That's what it's like. Point one here, even if it's challenging, dear ones, it's always true. It was a loving delay, but now we've got to move into some challenging territory because as well, it was a complete delay. It was a complete delay. We'll just run on a verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. Verse 6, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Loving delay, complete delay. This is where it gets challenging. Now, if you had been back there back then, you're thinking, this Lord Jesus, he's got his friend Lazarus, you know, he's been told that Lazarus is sick. I really do think that something fairly impressive is going to follow. I mean, the Lord Jesus was pretty impressive when it came to healing people normally. And now we got somebody who's a real friend of his. I think this is going to be amazing. And we could start to imagine the Lord Jesus, as it were, he's going to walk across the water. He's going to throw the mountains into the sea. I'm on my way to see my friend Lazarus. The Lord Jesus is going to speak with a voice so loud the heavens are going to tremble. The Lord Jesus is going to walk through the walls and just arrive at Lazarus's bedside. And we're going to get some real spiritual theater here. This is just, get me a ticket and I'm going to watch it. This is going to be amazing. And that's what we would have expected. And the Lord Jesus did nothing. He did nothing. Reminding us, we do not have a God of infinite predictability. Although sometimes we act as if we have. Someone, let's say, is going through a difficult time at work, and we go to them and say, I think I can tell you what God is going to do right now. Or someone else is ill, and again we would go to them and say, you know, I think I know what the Lord is going to do. I think I know. Or sometimes you've got maybe a single person who's longing to get married, and we go up to them, I think I can tell you exactly what the Lord is going to do. I can tell you. And yet we go back to this passage and we find what we thought the Lord would do is the opposite of what he actually did. Let's say that again. What we thought the Lord would do was the opposite of what he did. Let's think about this for a moment. This, we could say, was a knowledgeable delay. Someone could say, maybe the Lord Jesus, he didn't know. He didn't, you know, there's a crowd around him, a lot of noise. He didn't pick up that Lazarus was sick. What does he say? It say there, verse 6? When he heard, he knew. It was a silent delay. No, I'm often late for some of my friends, and I'm texting them like mad. Hopefully at the traffic lights or whatever, just not when I'm driving. You know, just to keep them up to date. Text, did a bit of messaging. Nothing here. During that 2 days, nothing added to the first message. It was a long delay. 2 days doesn't sound like much until you are seriously ill. Then it is a long delay. And it was also a voluntary delay. The Lord Jesus hadn't been arrested. The Lord Jesus hadn't been detained. And yet we read that, don't we? It's just as simple there in verse 6. So he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Think about it, dear ones. The Lord Jesus could have healed Lazarus with 1 word, but he said nothing. The Lord Jesus could have healed Lazarus with 1 look, but he looked nowhere. The Lord Jesus could have healed Lazarus with 1 thought, but he didn't even think that. We go back to what I was saying in the introduction. How can this be? You know, you've got a decent man, any kind of decent man. He doesn't need to be the Son of God. Any kind of decent man goes quickly to help his friend. Any kind of decent man, we would say, would go quickly to help an animal. Lord Jesus, your friend is probably with a raging high temperature, in a lot of pain, struggling to breathe, and you go nowhere. And we realize that in this big love, this bigger love, there's room enough for mystery. There's room enough for beyond our understanding. And what I've got to say, dear ones, this morning is that this happens. This is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago to Lazarus. It happens to Christians today. Let me give you an example. You know C.S. Lewis, well-known Christian writer, died in 1963. You know that he got to... I think he was it 57 years old when he married this lady, Joy Davidman Gresham, or the other way around, I can't remember. And he married her. She was 40, he was older. And to begin with, he married her just because she wanted to stay in the country, but then as they got to know each other better, they fell in love, and it was a proper love, and they really wanted to get married, and this is a true story, this actually did happen. And he really loved her, and you've got this kind of crusty Oxford academic, and he really loves this woman, and then she gets a cancer, it goes into remission, but then it comes back, and age 45, she's only 45 years old, she dies, and he's so sad about that, and he writes this book, and he wrote A Grief Observed, and he wrote it under the pseudonym N.W. Clerk. And in this book, A Grief Observed, he wrote of his experience. He says, why was it that in the days before when I used to try and pray and go to God, I used to feel as if all the doors were opened. I used to feel I could just walk into the Lord's presence and know that he was there. He said, now when I'm praying, he said, I feel as if I try to go towards the Lord in heaven. It's as if a door closes. It's as if a door is then locked. It's as if the door is then bolted. But I hear footsteps walking away. And so what we're realizing that this sense of complete delay, it's not just a first century phenomenon. Maybe some of us even here today are experiencing it. And what do we say? Well, I'll tell you what I say. First thing is don't play the blame game too much. Don't play the blame game too much. You can kind of look into your life. Well, maybe I did this. Maybe I did that. Maybe I did the other. And maybe you did do that. And maybe you do need to change. And that would be the best thing possible. But listen, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were godly people. They brought a beautiful prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't play the blame game too much. If you search and you can find something wrong with your life, you put it right with the Lord's help. But if you can't find anything wrong with your life that obviously needs correcting, then you remember that this is sometimes just the Lord's way with his people. Don't play the blame game too much. Secondly, has the Lord given you something to keep you going in your difficult time? He had here in verse 4. He didn't communicate with Lazarus during the 2 days delay, but before that he had said something. This sickness is not unto death. Did you hear something, as it were, from the Lord before the delay, before the silence? It keeps you strong and going on into the silence now. That's worth thinking about, isn't it? And thirdly, and I promise you this, keep looking in the right direction. Keep looking in the right direction. When we're ill, our souls are languishing. And I speak from experience. No one else can help us. No one else can help us. We thank the Lord for doctors. Most wonderful, wonderful work that they do. But no one else can help us all, apart from the Lord Jesus. And if you feel you're in the great silence, what you do is say, Lord, I realize now it's dark, but I know we're dependent on the sun for light. And I can't see the sun right now, but I know which direction it rises from. You keep looking to him. But I have to say, we're not out of the woods yet, because firstly, it was a loving delay. Secondly, it was a complete delay. Thirdly, it was a tragic delay. Friends, Lazarus died. Lazarus died. He died during the delay. Now, we might start thinking, well, what happened? There's a tragic delay. What happened? Third point, tragic delay. What happened while the Lord Jesus has put time on hold? 2 days. Nothing happening. What happened during that 2 days, time on hold period? Nothing happening. Well, let's go back to Lazarus. Well, we can think maybe it was wonderfully positive time. What happened is that Lazarus was ill there in his bed. A non-Christian friend of his came to visit. A non-Christian friend was so impressed by Lazarus and everything about him, he decided to become a Christian right there and then. Wonderful consequences while the Lord Jesus delayed. Or we can say it stayed on the level. It stayed on the level. So Lazarus, he didn't get better, but he didn't get worse. It stayed on the level. And, you know, he's pretty much the same 2, 4, 8 days later. And we're rather embarrassed we bother the Lord Jesus with a request anyway. Stayed on the level. Friends, he died. He died. Now, this is not just deterioration or someone getting worse. In one sense, now it's all over. It's over. This is not best case scenario. This is not bad case scenario. This is worst case scenario. And we're going into the realities of the Christian life here in one sense, because I can tell you this, that sometimes when the Lord delays, the things that happen in our lives equate sometimes to the worst things that could possibly happen, the worst things that could go wrong. People could say, I don't think it's so bad here with Lazarus. I don't think it's so bad. It's only 4 days. He's going to wait. He's going to come back to life. It's going to be a wonderful future. He's going to be remembered by Christians through all generations. I don't think it's so bad. You talk about the worst possible consequences. It wasn't so bad for him. 4 days, miracle, he's back on his feet and standing. Listen. He died. He died. We don't like it. Someone came into our house and stole our phone. I wouldn't like that. I really wouldn't like it if someone came into my house and stole my dog. They'd really get an enemy for life. We certainly wouldn't like it if someone came into our house and stole all our possessions, leaving us poor. Death came into their house and didn't leave until it had stolen Lazarus's life. That's what they had to experience. As John Piper said, death is not nice, not ever. Worst possible experiences. Another thought, it was a family loss. It was a family loss. Some of you probably know all about this. You've got Lazarus, his place there in Bethany. You've got Lazarus's house. You've got Lazarus's bed. You've got Lazarus's seat at the table. Lazarus's shoes. Lazarus's toothbrush, I don't know. But you haven't got Lazarus anymore. Changes how you see everything. It's gone. Sense of family loss. Little word for anyone who's angry with parents. Little word for anyone who's angry with family. And you say, I'm not going to speak to them. And I'm going to give them the cold shoulder. Be very careful, lest you feel very differently if they're suddenly taken from you in this life. And they're not around anymore. But the worst consequences, I have to say, confusion. Deep spiritual confusion came into that property. Why? Because as far as Lazarus knew, the Lord Jesus didn't come for him. Could have come for him, the Lord Jesus didn't come for him. That's all that Lazarus knew. Lazarus could have said, Lord Jesus, I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my friend. Lazarus could have said, Lord Jesus, if you had been sick, I would have come to see you. Lazarus could have said, Lord Jesus, if you had been in financial need, I'd have given you my last penny. And I'm drowning here in the circumstances of life. I'm dying. You walked past me. You didn't even hold out your hand. And I've gone. Sometimes the worst possible consequences. What I want to say, dear ones, is this. What do we say? If you're right there this morning, Isaiah 63. Remember this. In all our affliction, he is afflicted. In the profoundest possible way today, you are not suffering alone. You're not suffering alone. Remember this. God hasn't finished yet. This is not the end of the story. This is not even here the middle of the story. This is just the start of the story. God hasn't finished yet in your life. And also this. Ultimately, what matters is not what God brings into our lives. Rather, it's what God does with it. It's what God does with it. And here, he is putting his arm round those three precious people. And he's going to say to them now, let's visit a higher mountain. Let's visit a higher mountain, because after a loving delay, after a complete delay, a tragic delay, fourthly and finally, we see a blessed delay. It was a blessed delay. Verse 14, the Lord Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Dear ones, one word. Purpose. Purpose. Whatever your suffering, whatever your delay, you feel you're waiting for the Lord. I give you one word from the scriptures for it. Purpose. God has a purpose in that. And so often it's this, that you may believe. Let me tell you something very, very strange. Do you know what it says here? Lord Jesus says, I am glad in verse 15. You could translate that, the Lord Jesus says, I rejoice. And that's quite remarkable, because only three times in the Gospels are we told the Lord Jesus rejoiced. And we're thinking, I don't understand that at all. Your friend has just died and now you're saying you rejoice. Going back to the purpose. And that the Lord Jesus rejoices even at the prospect of growing faith, of developing faith in his people. You see, because we would say to the Lord Jesus on a natural level here, Lord Jesus, that we may believe. What's happened here has destroyed my belief. Lazarus has died. It's been a tragic event. Your ways I did not understand. What's happened here has destroyed my belief. And the Lord Jesus says, wait a while. We're not yet at the end of the story. Because you see, and this is the important part. This is the key to the whole thing. You see, if you look at Mary and Martha, and probably Lazarus as well, later on in the passage, you can see that there were limits to their faith. You can see that there were limits to their faith. You can see that with Mary and Martha, they seemed to believe the Lord could work in sickness, but they weren't so sure about whether he could work in death. They imply later on, yes, the Lord could bring my brother back from sickness. I'm not sure he could bring him out of the cemetery. That might be too late. They can see how the Lord Jesus could heal Lazarus' body, but raise it from the dead. This was seemingly beyond where their faith could go, where their faith could reach. And I think if we all examine our hearts, we'll find we all have those sort of limits to our faith. We don't sometimes articulate them to ourselves. We don't sometimes express them. Sometimes we don't even know that they're there. But there are limits to our faith. We don't think the Lord could do certain things in certain situations. Oh no, that would be too much. We're walking through life, as it were, with this incomplete view of who God is and incomplete view of what he can do. The Lord says, well, best way of removing that is to show you. Illustration I would sometimes use, you imagine them, a retired baseball player, and I know he's probably in his 40s now or something, I don't know, imagine he joins a church, and this baseball player, tremendous individual, but let's imagine that he can hit the ball 100 yards. He's tremendous power in his shoulders or whatever. He can use that bat and the ball is sailing 100 meters away. And he just tells people this. And the problem is that the little kids in the church don't believe him. And the little kids say, well, I'll have a go with the baseball bat. And they can hardly carry the bat. And they try and hit the ball and it just splashes in front of them. And they say, this guy tells me he can hit the ball 100 meters. I just don't believe him at all. And he says, no, I can do it. And they say, well, we don't believe you. Look, I'll try and hit the ball again. And the little kid hits the ball and it splashes in front of them again. And the ex-champion picks up the bat and whack, and out it goes. I mean, it's as if the ball has got wings. Now we believe. And for a growing faith, and a faith that has lost small understandings of God, and for a faith that limits God and how he can bless and when he can bless, sometimes for that faith to grow, to see things more truly, needs to go down into the valley of delay and death and other things before going up the other side, where the mountain is taller, the air is clearer, and the views are more beautiful. Maybe that's a summary of what God is doing in your life right now. And maybe that's a summary of what he's doing in mine. And I'm just going to say one word and I'm going to close. And it's all about this. I, speaking personally, do not always understand why the Lord delays. I don't always understand, but I'm willing to trust. I hope you are too. I think sometimes when the Lord delays, I'm thinking of some of the dear ones in my church back in Bristol. I think it's very painful. I think it's very painful. I could give you an example of one family, two small kids. Very painful. But in the end, we have two options. Two options, and they are these. We can either wait for eternity, maybe just 10 years' time, or maybe eternity, where we will look back on this delay and say thank you to God for it. You can wait for eternity. I promise you, in eternity, you will look back on the delay and say thank you, thank you, thank you. That's option one, wait for eternity. Option two, do it now. Thank him now when you don't understand. When life seems a blank. When maybe there's a silence from above and even in your heart. Even today you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand. But I know you understand. I'm trusting you. I'm loving you. I'm thanking you in the here and now until you take me to eternity for my eyes to be opened more widely and to know as I'm known. May the Lord bless his words. May the Lord speak to our hearts. and help us to understand these delays of love. Amen.